In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, July 6th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Yesterday morning, FBI Director James Comey virtually cleared former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton of any criminal misconduct related to sending and receiving classified information on her private email server.
Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
However, Comey said 110 emails and 52 email chains found on Clinton's server contained information that was classified at the time they were sent or received, and the classified information was accessed by hostile nations. Donald Trump responded by saying, quote, "The system is rigged. General Petraeus got in trouble for far less. Very, very unfair," unquote. Another federal judge put an injunction on the Indiana law that would have banned special needs abortions. Appointed by Barack Obama, Judge Tanya Walton Pratt acted to accommodate Planned Parenthood's request. Indiana Right to Life President Mike Fitcher told The World View it was a setback, but the battle is not over yet.
I think that there is a great misunderstanding of the resiliency and the commitment of the pro-life community to presume that one Supreme Court setback somehow dampens the entire movement and that the pro-life movement's going to wave a white flag now and just say, you know, we admit defeat because of this one ruling. We're a movement that has experienced so many setbacks throughout the years. We've been knocked down many, many times, and we come back twice as strong.
Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan." The Christian Post reports that a human rights group has warned that minorities in Iraq, including Christians, are facing a catastrophic reality as tens of thousands of them are systematically murdered or abducted by terror groups. Back in 2003, the Christian Iraqi population stood at 1.4 million. That was during the dictatorship of Saddam Hussein. But things have gone downhill since then. In October 2015, Aid to the Church in Need said that only 300,000 Christians were left, and now that number is estimated as low as 50,000. The Islamic month of Ramadan is over, but not before three more suicide attacks in the last 24 hours in Saudi Arabia. Four people were killed to finish off the bloodiest Ramadan celebration on record. The Olympic Games are 31 days away, and Rio de Janeiro is in crisis. CNN reports that violence is on the rise, and police officers are posting signs claiming they've not been paid for months. Evangelicals in the Church of England are preparing to block an attempt to introduce a blessing for members who live in homosexual sin. Nearly 500 members of the General Synod, the Church's parliament, will meet this weekend. Bill Nye, the science guy, the well-known atheist and evolutionist who had a national platform on PBS Kids for 5 years until 1998, is reportedly considering Ken Ham's offer to tour the Ark Encounter, the life-size replica of Noah's Ark that will open to the public in Williamstown, Kentucky, tomorrow. The Answers in Genesis CEO and president publicly invited Nye in May to visit the Ark, telling the Christian Post that he wants his past debate foes to be friends, not adversaries. Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your heavenly Father." Matthew 5:44. It pays to check those musty old boxes in your attic. Fox News reports that an unidentified family in the Deep South made the discovery of a lifetime when they found a letter written by Founding Father Thomas Jefferson, in which the third president extolled the virtue of American independence. The letter was put up for sale on Monday, exactly 190 years after Jefferson's death on July 4, 1826. The four-page letter puts into sharp focus Jefferson's well-chronicled dislike of the British. He wrote, quote, "We must sacrifice the last dollar and drop of blood to rid us of that badge of slavery, and it must rest with England alone to say whether it is worth eternal war, for eternal it must be if she holds to the wrong, unquote. As the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 7, you are bought with a price, be not the slaves of men. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Wednesday, July 6th in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. During the decline of the Western world and the decline of freedom in the Western world and the decline of the Republic, America in free fall right now. And, of course, we're concerned. We would sure love to see a revival of faith, family, and freedom in our generation, especially as we hand this generation off to the next. And today we're going to talk to that issue and some of the fundamental problems, trying to drill into the fundamental issues that confront our day. And Curtis Bowers, many of you know, has produced a great film called Agenda. It was one of the best-selling independent documentaries of all time. I think they had something like over a million in sales across this country, and arguably tens of millions of Americans had the opportunity to see this film, or at least they've heard about it. Now, Agenda won the $101,000 grand prize at the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival a number of years ago, and now Curtis Bowers is back, and he has produced Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. It's a powerful, moving film on the future of freedom anywhere in the world. And, of course, the fundamental issues that confront our day. It talks to the rising forces of totalitarianism around the world. And as it turns out, friends, George Washington, Patrick Henry, John Winthrop's agenda, pretty much gone. You know, name a nation somewhere around the world where George Washington, Patrick Henry, John Winthrop, or biblical law is even mentioned. Just a single nation somewhere around the world where the Christian approach to the way we do nations is applied to some particular nation somewhere around the world. You find a nation in which a biblical approach or the American approach is copied anywhere around the world today, you'll have a hard time. However, Mohammed and Karl Marx seem to have a great deal more ascendance in our day in Europe, in Asia, and the Americas. And they have had a great deal of ascendance just over the last 100 years. Mohammed, Karl Marx, big time more popular than Patrick Henry. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a problem. I've got an issue with that. See, I'm not a big Mohammed fan, and I'm really not a big Karl Marx fan either. Some of you have read my book, Apostate, you'd pick that up. But Mohammed and Karl Marx are the two most powerful dominating forces in nations around the world today. They're on the big time upswing, and Patrick Henry, John Winthrop, George Washington on the downswing. That's the issue, my friends. We're going to get down to some of the fundamental reasons for that with Curtis Bowers, the producer of these great films, Agenda, and now Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. Curtis Bowers back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Curtis, it's good to have you with us again. Welcome.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
And you're again running across the nation, meeting thousands of people in the big bus with the big family and bringing the big film along with you. Tell us a little bit about that just for a moment. You've crisscrossed this nation. You've talked to literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people across this nation. What's it like traveling the nation with your family?
It's been a great blessing, and it gives you an interesting perspective of what's really going on. And we've been just on this trip 18 weeks, probably in about 35 different states, and we're going to continue to do that through the election in November. But we're just trying to wake people up to the seriousness of the loss of freedoms you were talking about, and really the only solutions to gaining those back, turning back to the, to the book and doing things the way America used to do them. And so, but it's been a great blessing. And the encouraging thing is there are groups of people in every town in America that are very concerned about what's going on. They're awake. They love the Lord, and they want to do what they can to make a difference, to turn things back to where they should be. And that's been encouraging.
Curtis, here's the new film, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. And by the way, we offer this on our website, generations.org, if anybody's interested. Agenda 2, tell us what inspired you to this particular film and the theme you took up in this film. You talk about showing Agenda at a community college, and you had some input from a community college professor, as I recall. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it was kind of a stunning meeting. We showed the film, then afterward, we usually do a question-answer time, and after a few different questions, I called on a man in the back, and he went on to talk about how impressed he was with all the information I'd come across, and showing what had happened to our country to turn it into a socialist direction. But then he said something that really sobered everybody in the room. He said, I want to tell you something. I'm a professor at this college. I am a communist, and we will win because we're taking on your children. And he said that in a very powerful way. He was very proud of himself. And it just erupted in the room. People, some of the ladies started crying, some of the men started screaming at him. And because they realized it was true. That's what has happened. I mean, that made me realize we, even those that seem to be awake, even those that seem to have a biblical worldview, many are naive or ignorant about the Marxist threat that is influencing multitudes, not only in America, but worldwide. I mean, just like your book, Apostate, stated, when there was a poll taken by the BBC in 2000, asking who was the greatest thinker of the last 1,000 years, you know, Karl Marx won that.
Yeah.
And when I read that in your book, that sobered me too. And I said, wait a minute, this is crazy. This guy that most people say, those ideas are dead and gone, he has had more influence than anyone in 1,000 years. And it's a deadly influence because we all know where it ends.
This is a gigantic battle of ideas. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And we're called to take down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. And certainly the hugely powerful, influential ideas of Karl Marx is included in that command in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, that we're to take down these imaginations and every high thing and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We've got a battle on our hands, and it's not easy. We're going to get some pushback in the process. Have you felt some pushback in any of your work?
Yes, we really have. Even just in the making of this film, just so many just battles and struggles, and then now in getting it out. So yeah, it's definitely a spiritual battle, and it's a real battle, and most seem to not be engaged at all in that. Mm-hmm.
You know, you say the issue is never the issue on the front of this new DVD, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. The issue is never the issue. I think that's a quote from a famous communist. But how do they use the issues to destroy us? How do they use the issues to get at us?
They look at all the different issues we face. Some of them are manufactured. Some of them are real crisis or whatever. But then they've carefully strategized to make sure that every solution to every problem is crafted in a way that it'll make the problem worse. Why? So government can keep expanding to solve the bigger problem now and the bigger problem. They're very strategic in this. If you look at the educational reforms of the last 70 years, every single one has made the problem worse. It's made the government school system worse in the way it's educating our children. And so every time it gets worse, they go, oh, this is really getting terrible. Now we need to really do something big. And so it's just an amazing strategy that we seem to be naive to and think all these different things that are being pushed for, whether it's to save the planet or whatever, are real, and they're with a good heart behind them. But as you dig in and study the key people and groups behind them pushing those things, then all of a sudden you realize, oh, wait a minute, these people have a different agenda, and it has nothing to do with what they say they're promoting or what they're pushing forward. And it's been, I've studied this real, very carefully for almost 10 years full time, from 1883, the year Karl Marx died, to the present. And it's stunning how just strategic they are, how carefully they plot and plan to use us to accomplish their goals. The very people they want to destroy, to use us as just useful idiots to push for the very things that are going to undermine and to just finish off tearing the foundations of this country out.
Curtis, we talk about they, we talk about these people. Who are they? Who are these people? Are they the communists? Are they materialists? Are they the totalitarians? Just people want to use the power principle to dominate the world. You know, who are the they here? Can you describe it as best as possible?
Yeah, it is tough. It's a leftist leaning mindset that is in rebellion against God, and they all work unified together. I personally believe, after studying for 10 years, the Marxist mindset, I think they are the dominant ones that have the most influence to sway all the other left-leaning groups in their direction. They've had a vision for 120 years of a struggle for world communism through the United Nations, which we know, as I've studied, they're in total control of those things. So I think they're the dominant ones. Ultimately, though, as a Christian, we know their commander-in-chief is Satan, and that's why they are so unified. That's why they don't miss a trick. Satan knows exactly how God designed things to be, and so he is making sure everything is being flipped on its head, where there is nothing that is being done the way he intended it to be done. And so, and the bottom line of the whole thing, they are all useful idiots that Satan is using to destroy the systems God has put into place to be a blessing to us. And so, but I think the Marxist mindset, those people with the communist philosophies, they are the most dominant worldwide. They know how to use those other groups like Islam and stuff to their advantage.
Now, a lot of what's happening in our world is the development of power centers, power sources, power systems. And of course, they want to use these power systems and power centers, and they'll never want to give them up. This is part of the theme of the new film Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. And I guess my question for you is, what is the danger of giving sinful men and women tremendous power?
Well, it will be abused every time. And that's a simple study of history. Even if you didn't have the Bible in front of you, you just studied history, you would see, wow, every single time, without exception, in the history of the world, every civilization we've ever studied or know about, when government got big, the people were abused. And we can look just over the last 100 years and see, boy, that sure happens every time. And we look at God's word, and he did not. He had a very limited, specific jurisdiction for government. And, of course, it has gone out and swallowed up the jurisdictions of the church, the jurisdictions of the family, and it has become a monster, and it will abuse us. It already is, but it will get much worse if we don't turn it back to the proper roles that God put over the family, the church, and the state.
You know, I think that the theology is very, very important. And if you ask the average person, do you think that man has a serious sin problem? Do you think you have a serious sin problem? Do you think that the president of the United States has a serious sin problem? The average person probably would not agree with that, would they?
No. Everyone, as you talk to and share the gospel with people all over, and we've done that a lot on this trip at bus stop, rest areas and different truck stops and things. Everyone thinks they're a good person when you ask them that.
Yeah,
and they just,
right.
They naturally think, oh, it's Charles Manson. He was the bad guy, and I'm not as bad as him, so that means I'm a good person. And it's just not true.
Yeah, and I think you made the point in the film that anybody filling the shoes of Hitler with the same ideas, the same systems, the same centralized power sources at hand would do the same thing Adolf Hitler did.
Exactly, and that's why I wanted people to pull themselves out of their little fantasy world of how good they are, mm-hmm. and realize, no, if you believed what those guys believed, you would have done the same thing, because they believe they were doing what was right by their worldview, mm-hmm. and they had no authority over them, so they're able to do whatever they chose to do.
You know, you picked a lot of issues and pointed out how these issues contribute to the development of the dictatorship mentality and the development of totalitarianism here in this country, Obamacare being one of the examples of that. I think it's a classic example of dialectic materialism. Why don't you give us a little sense for how the communists and the socialists use things like Obamacare?
Yes, they fix a target of something they want. They want single-payer healthcare in America, where the government is in complete control of the doctors, the hospitals, and all medical care. So they go, okay, they know that's a bridge too far for most of us. So they start pushing toward that. They start demanding, we need single-payer. And they keep pushing us and pushing us until we finally say, that's ridiculous. We don't want that. And they finally, at that point when they realize there is a force there to be reckoned with, they step back a step and say, okay, sorry, we're being too forceful. Let's compromise on this. Why don't we just do this Obamacare? It's just going to help cover, the 35 million Americans that don't have insurance, and it won't change anything about your policies. It won't change your rates or your doctors. Can we just do this and compromise? We're willing to compromise, aren't you? And so they always put us in the position of, if we're not willing to work with them, it shows how evil we are, and we compromise. And so also they've taken a huge step towards single payer. And then the very thing they pushed, of course, is not what it appeared to be either. And they knew it wasn't. It was very carefully planned to be something that's going to fail. And that's what our side doesn't get. It's intentionally setting up paradigms that will fail. So you need a bigger solution to fix that problem. And that's as you study them, that's purposeful. That is what they're trying to do. And so the next step will be then to go for single payer. Even as now, you see in the news, people are complaining about their premiums going up, complaining about the system. Obamacare is not working. Instead of abolishing Obamacare, which would be the solution, they're going to have, government should just pay it for everyone since it's too expensive, and let's just go with that. And then they look like the good guy again because they're covering all the medical expenses. But, of course, they're not because they will use that control over the people in medicine.
Curtis, you make the point in the film that dependency leads to dictatorship, and that dependency is something that the left just wants to cultivate everywhere. And now some 49-55% of Americans get a check from the government every month. It's somewhere between 49-55%. So we're right there on the tipping point right now to tip over into that nation that's utterly dependent and is slave-minded to the very core of this nation. And when the voting base of 49-55% of people receive redistributed wealth in some form from the government, of course, there's no turning back. America will be a totalitarian nation forever and ever, unless God, by his grace, sets us free in some supernatural way. But let me ask you this. Do you think that we are actually getting close to a communist type of dictatorship? One of the points that I've made on the program recently is that only 9% of Americans like their Congress, the congressional leaders they elected 2 years ago. Only 9% of Americans like their congressional leaders, but 60-70% of Americans are excited about socialist health care, the military and the police and, sort of the dictatorship model. So if only 9% of Americans appreciate any kind of representative government, and 60-70% of Americans are in love with more of a dictatorship model, how close are we to a police state?
Well, not very far, because, again, and that is part of the strategy, is to create a man by influencing him that not only wants what they're selling of big, but needs it. And so they're, again, as you get 55-60% of people that need the big government to survive, yeah, and they need that, they open with open arms, just pull it right into their lives. Yeah. It might not be a battle or even a struggle. They will accept those totalitarian controls. That's the worst of all, when you just slowly slip down into the abyss of totalitarianism, and no one even puts up a fight, or no one even, a few people are whining, a few of us are whining and complaining, but it just sinks into it. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, you realize you have absolutely no freedoms whatsoever. And but they were hoping through the educational system, through Hollywood, through the media, to create a person that when those chains were put on them, they wouldn't really even care that much. Mm-hmm. And I think they've unfortunately been pretty successful at doing that.
I think what a lot of us conservatives and Christians are trying to do is to grapple for the fundamental issue, something that I think you're doing in this new film, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. So as we grapple for the root issue, the more fundamental issue, I believe it's you that made the statement, might have been one of the persons you interviewed, that the enemy is in control of the schools. It was kind of a radical statement. I wrote it down in my notepad. Wow, the enemy is in control of the schools. That sounds rather tyrannical. It sounds rather frightening, you know, to think that somebody, that the enemy is controlling the schools. Is that the fundamental issue, institutionally speaking, that is giving birth to destruction of freedoms and the destruction of the nation, do you think?
Yes, because, I mean, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Whoever raises the children will be in total control in a generation or so. So it's the most fundamental thing of all. God intended the mother and the father to raise those children, to pass down to them the truth, the biblical truth, the historical truth. And that's not happening. It hasn't happened in 50 years. So now they have taken the young people. And if you study from John Dewey forward, you realize that's when you realize, no, it is our enemy in control. These aren't just naive liberals that just don't understand how things work. It is purposeful, because you read their own books and their own statements of what they were trying to create through the educational system, and you realize, wait a minute, this system is actually very successful. It's doing exactly what they intended it to do, create a very immoral young person that is just dumbed down, that has no initiative, no motivation. And you'd say, well, why would they want to do that? Because John Dewey wanted to create a socialist system in America, and by doing that, if you're going to be a cog in a socialist machine, you can't be independent or creative or full of energy to go change the world. You can't do that. And so they got to just keep dumbing it down to the lowest common denominator, so everyone will just slide into their little position as a cog in the machine and be content with that, which was never part of America. We were always so excited about using the talents God had given us and just wanting to do 100 different things. And that's just, it's been slowly just brainwashed and indoctrinated out of the young people.
Mm-hmm. Curtis, we want to acknowledge that Jesus is still in control. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the entire world. Not everybody acknowledges that, but we do. But arguably the two most powerful forces in the world, I already mentioned them at the beginning of this cast, and that is Muhammad and Karl Marx, Patrick Henry and George Washington and others are not nearly as influential as Muhammad and Karl Marx. Right now, they're on ascendance. I think everybody would say that, North Africa, South Africa, communism, Islam, Europe is either communist or Muslim, and it's, none of these nations are really moving in the direction of James Madison, George Washington, John Winthrop. They're moving the direction of Muhammad and Karl Marx. So that's been the trajectory set by the entire Western world and most of the world. I mean, you can't hardly think of a nation that is not moving in the direction of Muhammad or Karl Marx. What are the connections between them? This is something I think is key for your new film Agenda 2, because you do draw these important connections between Muhammad and Karl. What are these connections?
As you study the communist movement from the 1800s forward, you realize one of their most strategic things they do is they infiltrate and subvert other groups from within. I mean, Lenin himself said, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. So they knew to destroy the whether it's the Christian church, whether it's Islam, other affronts to you, anything that might take your power, you want to subvert it, infiltrate it, and then use it. And so as you study the history of Islam over the last 100 years, and you study terrorism over the last 100 years, you'll realize the first 50 years of the 20th century, from 1900 to 1950, there was many terrorist attacks worldwide, and every single one of them was done by the communists. There was not a single Islamic attack in the first 50 years of the 20th century. But then you look at the last 50 years of the 20th century, all of a sudden communism pulled out, and Islam moved in. And I 100% believe from studying, they realized they had penetrated the seminaries and the religious training schools in the Middle East, which is very close to the Soviet Union, to use those people, just like what they've done to the Christian church in America. That's why most of our seminaries do not believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God, because it's been infiltrated. And so you can see, one of the KGB agents that had defected, Alexander Litvinenko, before he died in London a few years ago, he had been poisoned by Putin. He told us some key things. He said the terrorist attacks against Russia, he goes, we did them. The KGB, we did those attacks. He goes, we have been funding, financing, training, and stirring up radical Islam for the last 50 years. And there's so much evidence. It could go on and on about that. There's books written on it, but the connections are incredible. And I think it's a logical connection. They saw the Communist International Worldwide saw, hey, these people want to dominate the world too. And they're willing to die for the cause. Of course, a communist isn't. They don't want to because they're atheists. This is all they have. And so they do not want to die. But when they found that group of people that is willing to die, wants to die for the cause, you can tell very clearly it has been penetrated. It's been stirred up. Ion Pacepa, who is head of the Romanian KGB, he documents in his book, he said, in 1972 alone, just this one meeting in 1972 he had with Andropov, who was head of the Soviet KGB, we sent 4,000 Soviet agents into the Islamic world to stir up hatred against Israel and the United States. That's just one meeting that we know about. 4,000 agents that are going in full time to act like they're Islamic, and they're going to penetrate up, and they're going to stir the pot of hatred toward America, and that's their full-time job. And I think they've been very successful.
Well, as you look at the entire nation and you look at the absolute worst nations on Earth, the absolute worst hellholes on this planet, you're going to find loss of freedom, constant fear in the populace, secret police, cruel torture, persecution of Christians. And guess where you'll find them? Inevitably, they will be communist nations or Muslim nations. Both worldviews are totalitarian, a point you make in the film. And as I see it, the same devil underneath them both. So it's understandable that they produce the same product, basically. And both,
that's right.
Both will attack freedom. Both will undermine freedom in Europe and North America as well. Well, as we look at the future, it doesn't bode well. You're literally saying towards the end of this film, get ready for the slaughter of billions of people at the hands of the state. And mothers, get ready to pay for the bullets that will be used to kill your 18-year-old son. A story that is conveyed, just a heartbreaking story, is conveyed by one of the men whose brother was killed by one of these totalitarian regimes, and his own mother had to pay for the bullets that that killed her 18-year-old son. So, you know, this is the future of America right now. This is the trajectory we're on. One of the most shocking comments I heard in the movie was by, I think it was Alan Keyes, who said, America is not going to fall. America is falling. And just a stunning comment from Alan Keyes on the film. But, you know, is this overly negative, or is this the trajectory we're really on, Curtis?
It really is. That's what people have to face. It is. If you plot a dot on a graph in 1950 for America, and you plot a dot on a graph, 2016, America, and you draw a line between those two dots, you will see exactly where we are going. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder, oh, I wonder what's coming next. I wonder what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We know exactly what is happening next, unless God steps in, as he can do anytime he chooses, and turn things back. And that's my message to people as Christians. And we see in Bible history, world history, he's never done that. When his children are seeking the truth, standing with courage for the truth, and loving him with all their heart, mind, and strength. And that's the best solution to our problems of anything, is individually, as Christians, to start living like Christians, to start acting like Christians, and start lovingly standing for the truth with courage in every facet of life, especially starting right in our families, with our children and grandchildren, teaching, training, discipling, mentoring them, and then spreading out from there to our neighborhoods, into our churches, into our communities, one person at a time, making a difference and exposing the light of the truth on the lies that are being told all over our country and all over the world. And that's our responsibility here. That's all we're here for, is to glorify the Lord by doing that, by standing for the truth, because he is the truth. And we need to do that boldly, with courage, and with a smile on our face, because we know he is in control, and he can do whatever he chooses to do.
Amen. As I finished this film, and as you built the case of the formidableness of the enemy and the sheer size of the gathering storm, I was reduced to one major conclusion, which was the conclusion that you just mentioned, and that is only God can save us now. The human heart is way too deceitful. The conspiracy's too demonic. and two, all pervasive. The schools have almost total control over the minds and the hearts of the next generation, guaranteeing that each successive generation will be pro-homosexual, more pro-materialist, pro-big government. And Pew Research has substantiated that. And then we're dealing with the collapse of the Republican Party, the infighting among Christians, the breakdown of the church. I think again and again, we're reduced to a single conclusion. Only God can save us now. And there are things that we can do. We can pick up the five smooth stones. We can disciple our kids. We certainly ought to fall on our knees and repent of our sins and beg for mercy and understand the value of Jesus and receive his salvation and submit to him as Lord and King. These are the things that we can do. But, you know, if God doesn't interpose, Curtis, we're done for.
Yes, we are, which is very sad because we were given so much and we were blessed so much to be handed this incredible country that was really built on the principles of the Bible. And we squandered it with laziness, with self-absorbed with all our little fun and games. And now we're at the point again where probably it's going to take the shedding of blood to turn it back. But the good thing is, again, God can do that. And so I think when we realize he is our only hope, as he always is anyway, it's good. I'm sensing as we travel the country, not only a very sober-minded people coming to the showings, but a very humble people. And that is wonderful. You have to be humbly submissive before God, realizing he is my only hope, to really repent like you should, to turn and be willing to follow him like we should. And then watch him. He can always do the miracle.
Yes.
He can take the loaves and fishes and feed the 5,000 whenever he wants. But we need to just hold our loaves and fishes out to him and say, what would you have me to do? I'm giving you everything I have, this little vapor on earth, and I'm asking you to do the miracle because I can't do that. I can just obey. And that's what we're really encouraging people to do.
We'll lift up the rod and watch God part the Red Seas. And we'll pick up the five stones and watch God bring the giant down. We need the mercy of God. And I want to recommend folks to this film, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. You can get it anywhere online. And be sure to contact the Bauer family because they're going all over the states. Is there a website that they can find out where you're at and perhaps schedule something as well, Curtis?
Yes, they can contact us through agendadocumentary.com, agendadocumentary.com. You can also watch the trailers for both movies there to see if it's something you're interested in.
All right, my friends, agendadocumentary.com is the website. Curtis Bowers has been our guest today on the Generations Radio broadcast. Curtis, thank you so much for your passion, for your ministry, for your continuance in this very difficult battle. We appreciate your work, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on. We appreciate you. We're praying for you.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.